Amen. God bless you, Lisa. That is a very profound truth in that song. I don't know if you feel this morning that you are loved, but regardless of how you feel this morning, for every person in the room without exception, no one loves you like Jesus loves you. Amen. That is, again, is a profound truth that I hope and pray you remember beyond today. Again, God bless you, Lisa. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, just five verses this morning for us to consider as we continue looking at the Gospel of Mark. Last Sunday morning, I shared a message with you entitled, Traditions Are Sinful. And hopefully that title got your attention, raised your eyebrows, caused you to ask some questions. That was my goal. That was my intention. That was my purpose. If you'll remember, we looked, beginning at Mark chapter 7, and we looked at verses 1 through 8, and Jesus was having a dialogue with Pharisees and scribes who they valued, as evidenced by their actions, they valued the traditions of men more than the commandments of God. And brothers and sisters, it was true then, and my comment to you last week that it is still true today, if we value the traditions of men, the preferences of men, the opinions of men, the same as or more than the commandments of God, then our traditions have become sinful. And we gave some very specific examples about dress and worship styles and recreation. And so I want to continue that thought this morning. And Jesus is going to have for us a very specific example. And I'll try to explain and then also elaborate. But we want to continue that thought this morning of traditions being sinful. Traditions being sinful when we elevate them to having the same authority in our lives as God's Word. I think that you will be interested to see a courtroom setting, so to speak, this morning. We like courtroom dramas. We like courtroom movies. I believe this is a courtroom setting. And I want you to make several observations with me this morning, beginning in verse 9 of Mark chapter 7. And the first observation is this indictment by the Lord. Jesus, if you will, is the prosecuting attorney. And so there is this indictment by the Lord, beginning in verse 9, he said to them, them being the Pharisees and the scribes, so this is a continuation of last Sunday morning. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your tradition. Now that's interesting how Jesus says that. He says, you're good at something. You're good at rejecting God's word. That's not a compliment, brothers and sisters. If we want to be good at something, let it never be that we're good at rejecting God's word. If you're reading the New American Standard Bible, the way that it's translated is, you are experts. You are experts at ignoring God's word. I don't want to be an expert at ignoring God's word. I want to be an expert in a lot of things, but ignoring God's word is not one of them. All too well, you reject the commandment of God so that, here's why you reject it. Here's why you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. So Jesus Christ, the prosecuting attorney, delivering his indictment here, the Pharisees and the scribes, you have these traditions. And again, if you were here last Sunday morning, you heard me say this. Traditions in and of themselves are not bad. I'm a traditional person. I practice traditions personally and with my family. I went to a university that is known for their many, many, many traditions. I enjoy and I like traditions. But when our traditions, our preferences, our opinions begin to have the same authority as God's word, then the indictment that was true of the Pharisees and the scribes also becomes true of us. We reject God's word so that we may keep our traditions. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes, they should have known better. And the reason why I say that is because of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Listen to the words of Moses. You shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. They knew better. They knew better than to add their traditions to have the same level of authority as God's word. They knew better. But the indictment remains. They all too well rejected the commandments of God so that they may keep their traditions. Well, any good prosecuting attorney is not only going to deliver an indictment, an opening statement, make his charges, he's also going to demonstrate proof. And so the second observation that I want you to see in verses 10, 11, and 12, evidence from the law. Evidence from the law. Verse 10, for Moses said. So where is Jesus going? He's going to the Bible. He's going to Scripture. For Moses said, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the books of Moses. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Matter of fact, it's the fifth of the Ten Commandments. It's actually a quotation of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and mother. It's not only in Exodus 20:12, though. It's also in Deuteronomy 5:16. So Jesus is giving evidence from the law how they are rejecting, the Pharisees and the scribes, are rejecting the commandment of God, the word of God, in place of, or instead of, they're keeping their traditions. Jesus states it positively. Honor your father and mother. But then he also states it negatively. Look again in verse 10. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. So speaking positively, honor father and mother. Speaking negatively, if you curse father and mother, the penalty is death. Aren't you grateful and thankful for the new covenant, brothers and sisters? The fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. He who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. Exodus 21 and verse 17. So again, a moment ago, we said, we want to be good in a lot of things. We don't want to be good at rejecting God's word. It's startling here, the case that Jesus makes. Remember, how did verse 10 begin? But Moses said, and Moses said. Look at the beginning of verse 11. But you say. Wow. Notice the contrast designated by but. But you say. Moses said this, God's word. But you, what's Jesus about to communicate? The opposite of what Moses said. And it was true of the Pharisees and scribes. Brothers and sisters, I don't want Jesus ever to say of me, my word says, but Richard, you say. Let that never be true of Emory Baptist Church. My word says, but Emory Baptist Church says. Those two need to be the same. Whatever God's word says is what I need to say. Whatever God's word says is what we need to say. Whatever God's word says, what Emory Baptist Church needs to say. For Moses said, but you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. Now that verse, or those verses, deserve some explanation. Remember, what is the fifth commandment? Exodus 20, honor your father and mother. That means that we are to take care of our parents. The Pharisees knew that. The scribes knew that, but they had a tradition, a man-made tradition, where they said, I'm going to use my financial resources and commit them to God. And when I do that, I'm going to say that they are Corban, which means a gift to God. Now, doesn't that sound good? Shouldn't we commit our financial resources to the Lord? Absolutely. But you don't commit your financial resources to the Lord and neglect honoring your father and mother. And that's what they were doing. They were saying, oh, I'm going to commit my financial resources to the Lord. And they also knew, Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, you can look at that on your own. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, once they made that commitment of their financial resources to the Lord, they couldn't take it back. They couldn't change it. That was a vow that couldn't be broken. And so they say, oh, I'm going to commit my resources to the Lord. And because I've committed my resources to the Lord, now I can't help mom and dad. Again, you will never find on the pages of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, you will never find, except here in Mark chapter 7 and this one verse, you will never find the mention of this idea of Corban. You know why? Because it was a tradition of man. And yet, multiple times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, do you find the commandment to honor father and mother? Absolutely. Do we do stuff like this today, brothers and sisters? Are we guilty of saying one thing about what we're doing with our lives and at the same time ignoring God's word? Have I had church members, not church members here, of course, but have I had church members say to me, "Brother Richard, when I'm out at the lake, when I'm on the golf course, when I'm in the deer stand, I'm sharing the gospel. I'm evangelizing the lost." And yet, it's sharing the gospel, evangelizing the lost, making disciples on Sunday mornings at 10:30. And God's word says very specifically in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works," listen to this, "not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You've got all week to golf and fish and hunt. Don't do it on Sunday mornings at 10:30 and neglect God's word. And I can assure you that the assembly of these saints has preceded your golfing, your finishing, and your hunting by years. Here's another way we do it. "Brother Richard, I'm committed, as committed can be, for us to sing those doctrinally rich hymns. And I'm so committed to that, I'm not even going to sing any other song except hymns." What about the doctrinally rich praise song? What about the doctrinally rich choruses? I mean, didn't the Apostle Paul say in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing," listen to this, "one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord"? And so when we pit our tradition against Scripture, brothers and sisters, Scripture should win every time. The traditions of men should never take the same level as authority as the commandments of God. So Jesus, he gives his indictment. He gives his evidence. We finish this morning in verse 13 with the verdict. The verdict on legalism. "Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." I didn't say this in the beginning. I saved it until now. But legalism is what has been on trial. Legalism. And so Jesus delivers his verdict on legalism. Now what is legalism? Last Sunday morning, I explained legalism to you like this. Legalism is simply adding to God's word. Adding to God's word our traditions, our preferences, our opinions. They're not really a part of God's word, but we think they're a part of God's word in the way we behave and in the way we speak. We've put them on the same level of authority as God's word. And generally, legalism plays out in one of two ways. It plays out in salvation, when we say that something plus Jesus is the good news. In the first century, they said circumcision plus Jesus is the good news. That wasn't true then. It's not true today. But today, more often than circumcision, we say baptism plus Jesus is the good news. Brothers and sisters, it's not baptism plus Jesus. The good news is simply Jesus. Jesus and only Jesus is who died on the cross for the sins of the world. And while we very much encourage baptism, and we certainly think baptism is an act of obedience, it's not necessary for salvation. But legalism plays out in other ways. Legalism not only plays out in salvation, it plays out in sanctification. If you want to be more like Jesus, then you must do 1, 2, 3. And if you want to be more like Jesus, you better not do X, Y, Z. And I shared with you last Sunday some examples of such. Again, our priority, our concern, our focus, hopefully, more than anything else, is the commandments of God, God's word. Great to have traditions. Great to have opinions. Great to have preferences. But traditions and preferences and opinions become sinful when we begin acting like legalists and putting our traditions on the same level of authority as God's word. So let me share with you just a few conclusions and then we'll be done. What are some things that we take away this morning from these five verses? Well, of course, the verdict on legalism. But also, we are reminded today that as a follower of Christ, we are obligated to care for and honor our parents. I want you to listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Notice when the Apostle Paul gives this encouragement to the church at Ephesus, it doesn't have any age restrictions on it. So even today, if your mother and or father are still alive and you are a follower of Christ, then there is the responsibility to honor father and mother, to take care of father and mother, to obey father and mother. Secondly, if you're a follower of Christ, we have an obligation to keep our word. We have an obligation. The Pharisees and the scribes thought they were doing a good thing in keeping their word. But yet they were keeping their word while neglecting God's commandment. You and I, brothers and sisters, we do have an obligation to keep our word. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, Jesus said, "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So, brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility that when we say something, we follow through with what we've said. We keep our word. We're men and women of our word. Now, let me get rather personal this morning. That also comes into play when we start talking about being on time and being late. Be a person of your word. If you say you're going to be at point X by this time, then be at point X by that time. It also has application when we write checks. Does anybody even write checks anymore? If we say, I'm going to pay you this amount and this piece of paper is my word that that amount is in the bank, and yet that check bounces, you're not being a person of your word. As a follower of Christ, we're obligated to be men and women of our word. And then finally, and above all else, as followers of Christ, the highest authority in our life should rest in the Word of God. The highest authority in my life as a follower of Christ is not my tradition, is not my preferences, are not my opinions, or it's not even my experience, but it's God's holy word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May God's word be the highest authority in my life and in your life as a follower of Christ. One final thing, and I'll be done. God's word tells us, in spite of what the world tells us, the world tells us that there are many ways to be at peace with God. The world tells us if you try hard enough, if you live a good enough life, maybe if you donate enough money, maybe if who your mom and dad are, who your grandparents are, if you come from the right family, then you'll be at peace with God. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said this in John 14, 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. Listen to this. No one comes to the Father except through me. What about living a good enough life? What about giving enough money? What about who my mom and dad are, who my grandparents are? Except through me. Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there is no other name under heaven by which men will be saved. There's only one name. It's not the name of morality. It's not the name of generosity. It's not the name of biology or heredity. Who do you say Jesus is? That's the key. And today, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, today I want to invite you to put your faith and trust in Jesus for the very first time. I want to invite you to admit that you're a sinner, to believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place, and to confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life. That's what God's Word tells us. That's how God's Word tells us today as to how you can be saved. In just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing together after I finish praying. And I'll be here at the front, or Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And if today you would pray to receive Christ from the very first time, we would invite you to step out on one of these aisles, meet us here at the front. We'll be ready to counsel with you, to pray with you, to celebrate with you. If you're here today and God has convicted you through His Word or through His Spirit that you have been guilty of some legalistic thinking, some legalistic speaking, and today you need to repent of that, if you want to come here kneeling at the front praying on your own, you're more than welcome to do that. If you want to come and pray with me or Brother Ronnie, we would love for you to do that. If you're a guest with us today and God is leading you to join a congregation that puts God's Word above all else, not the traditions of men, not the opinions, not the preferences, but God's Word, the Holy Spirit is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, we would love to welcome you this morning. Our invitation will be for you after I finish praying. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we come to you on this Lord's Day after hearing from God's Word. Father, please forgive us for our legalism. Please forgive us for our legalistic thoughts and our legalistic tendencies and our legalistic speech. Lord, I pray that you would purify our hearts, purify my heart, to make God's Word the highest authority in my life. Not my traditions, not my preferences, not my opinions, not my experience. Father, today, commit this invitation to you. If there are those here this morning, Lord, that don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, I pray that you would give them faith to believe as they call on the name of the Lord to save them this day. If there are guests here today that need to unite with Emory Baptist Church, give them courage to be obedient today in taking a stand for Christ and a stand for commitment to this body. If there are other decisions, Lord, we welcome them today as we seek to be obedient and honoring of your word. Lord, thank you for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, you come today on the very first stanza.